We're holding on page Tzadik Zayin in Brachos, third line, towards the end of Os Kuf Lamed. We started talking yesterday about the various brachos that you say in the morning. So the Gemara started giving the whole list of them. We actually had, by the way the Gemara said it was, when you do this, then you say this bracha, and when you do that, you say that bracha. So first of all, you have the Rambam Taka holds that you only say the bracha only if you actually did the thing. So for example, the Rambam writes, if you didn't actually hear the rooster crow, you wouldn't say the bracha anoisa masech vidin. If one day you don't wear a belt, then you wouldn't say oizer yisrael b'gvura, and so forth with the other ones. Most of the posts can disagree with that and say that you can say them even if you didn't do the particular thing because it is minhag shel olam. We do actually have, we actually don't say shal sili kol tzarki on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but the other ones we do say. You also have the question whether you say them individually, as you do the things or whether you say them all bunched up together. So eventually over time, the minhag developed to say them all bunched up together and the frat also, especially so that fits with the idea that you're saying from Minhoga Shalolam, you're not only saying for the fact that you personally did these things, but for the fact that in general a person does these things every day, and they're even developed in some places the minhag to say them together in shul. Again, the Rambam is very against that whole thing, and he says that actually in one of his Trubas, he says he speaks very sharply against it, but nevertheless he basically got outvoted, and that's how so everybody says them either by themselves or sometimes you have they say them in shul and Amor in the Chaz and his Moti everybody. The order that we say them is basically the order we had them in the Gemara, with a couple of exceptions that we mentioned so far. One other thing is, you have, there's a couple of brachas that are missing in here that we say every day. One of them is the bracha, three of them are the brachas shalayasani goy, shalayasani obed, shalayasani isha. So those are actually mentioned in a different Gemara in Menachos. And you have the Veltish and Minhag is you say them near the beginning of these brachas. You say Anoisa Masech Bivina, and then right after that, or maybe after the Keach Ibrahim, I don't remember, you say Shalai Asani Goy Ovid and Isha. Or Minhag is we say them at the end after Ozu Yisrael B'Gvura and Ozu Yisrael B'Sifara. The Shara Kolel discusses that in a way the bracha after that, which we're going to talk about now in the Gemara, which is all one long bracha, in a way that's like a miniature Shemona Esrei, in the sense that you're starting with a praise of Hashem and then requesting your needs, which is the core of what Shemona Esrei is all about. So therefore, right before that, I'll be Kabbalah, then you're saying Shavuot Asani Goy Oved Isha, meaning in other words you're acknowledging and you're thanking Hashem that He gave you your particular way of avodah. Now, having mentioned that, now that leads into now that I have my particular way of avodah, then I'm going to dive into Hashem. So therefore, that's why we do it in that order. Another bracha that's missing that we don't have in Gemara over here is Hanosim Ayoyef Koyach. So in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that bracha was actually composed in the times of Ge'oni. At that time there was Tashus Koyach. They realized that there's a weakening in the world. People are not as strong as they used to be, and therefore they need to make a bracha. Therefore we need to make a bracha that Hashem gives a person the energy to get out of bed and be able to function. There were Rishonim who were against it because in general we say after the time of the Gemara, we can't compose our own brachas. Nevertheless, though, the widespread minhag became to say it, and most, if not all, Nuschois do have it. Shara Kolel points out another interesting thing in this connection. He brings from earlier Sfarim that actually it's not just about the physical Tashus Koyach that we have, it's also the Ruchniyistika weakening that we have in particular against the Minim, against the various groups that disbelieve in parts of Yiddishkeit, and we have a hard time with them. The truth is, in the time of the Goyim, you have the Koroyim came along, and for a while they were very powerful in Jewish life. So it may have been in connection with that. And so he says, in the same way, for example, as there was added in Shemona Esrei, bracha connected the minim, so originally you started with 18, and then he added another one, and you have here and there throughout davening where we have things where there's 18, and then a 19th one was added to correspond to that, so it is over here. This bracha was added not only because of the physical weakness that we experience, but also because of the ruchniyistik weakness against the minim that we thank Hashem for giving us the strength to be able to stand up against them. And he points out, by the way, a very interesting thing. He says, in Shemona Esrei, the Birkas HaMinyan is number 12. Now, if you count the three brachas, the first three brachas as one, which for certain purposes in halacha they are, for example, in halacha, if you make a mistake during one of the first three, you forget akel hakadosh, you forget amalach hakadosh during aseres mitzvah, for example, you forget mashav rochem or degeshem, whatever, then you have to start over from the beginning. So therefore, then actually you come out that v'lamashinim comes out as the tenth bracha. In Birkas HaShachar, where is Hanoisam HaYoshkoyach? The tenth bracha. In Yehi Chavod, you have a pasuk Rabbis Machshavas Belev Ish, which is the only one in there that's a pasuk from Mishlei. All the other ones are pasukim from Tilim. It's also Kenegad the Minim. They have many thoughts Vasasha and Dukum. And which one is that? Also number 10. So there's this idea that every place where we're adding something Kenegad the Minim, it's the tenth one in the sequence. Anyway, so that's a nosim ayot. So now continuing in the Gemara. Ki moshi yode, when a person washes his hands, lema, then he says, the bracha, baruch ha-shek, v'dishanim mitzvah, v'tzvana al nitzvah sedayim. Now, here in the Gemara, we have that near the end. And even after putting on, we had before, he's putting on towels and tefillin already before that. Because we talked about yesterday, there was the idea, in those days, they were on a higher level of kedusha. When they woke up in the morning, they didn't have such a tumah on their hands that they need to actually wash first thing in the morning. They can just, like, rinse their fingertips or something, and then that's good enough. And then only later on, when they're preparing for davening, Then you wash your hands. Like, yeah, people, like you have, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to wash your hands before davening, aside from the washing your hands in the morning. So now, in that sense, then, before they go into the main part of davening, which again, Amadr Sheni Me'ona is like a miniature Shemin Esrei, then they would wash. We wash earlier, and therefore we say, Al Nitzvah Sudayim. Ki Moshi Ape, then when he washes his face, Lema, then he says the bracha, Baruch Hamad Chevle Shena Me'enai, Hashem takes away sleep from my eyes, because now you washed your face, you washed your eyes, so now you don't feel the sleep, the crustiness on your eyes anymore, or Snuma Me'afapai, and Hashem removes slumber from my eyelids, and we continue with the bracha, it's all one long bracha. Be your will, Hashem, my God, that you should make me accustomed to keeping your Torah, which we have, and most Nischoris also have, Beloshin Rabbim, because in general, we daven Beloshin Rabbim. In general, the Gemara says elsewhere, a person should always include himself together with the Tzibur when he davens or says brachos, so therefore it's more appropriate to say the say it in Loshin Rabbim, and that's how we do it. So, v'dabkeini mitzvesecha, and connect me to your mitzvahs. Now to be any loyvi de chait, don't bring me to chait, which is mistaken averus, loyvi de oven, or not to deliberate averus, loyvi de nisoyen, and not to being tempted, loyvi de vizoyen, or to any kind of humiliation, b'choifas yitzri li shtabed loch, control, subjugate my yetzahara, that it should be subjugated to you, v'rachakenim odem ra, keep me far away from a bad person, or mechover ra, and from a bad friend, connect me to the Yetzer Tov, or a Chaver Tov, and to a good friend, Ba'olamecha, in your world, on Nusach, slightly different. Again, you have different Nuschos that the Rishonim have that differ a little bit from this. Usneni Hayom of Choyom, and give me today and every day that I should have Lachain, that I should have grace, or Lachesed, and kindness, or Rachmim, and mercy, Ba'inecha, in your eyes, Ba'inecholoya, in the eyes of all those who see me, Vesigmaleni Chasadim Togim, and give me good Chasadim, and we finish off, who gives, who grants good chasadim to his people Yisrael. So that's the last bracha of this whole list of Birkas HaShachar. Why are we saying at this point, why after thanking Hashem that he removed sleep from our eyes, why are we continuing with this whole long Nusach? So one point is, now that we're starting a new day and we're recognizing that now we've done everything to prepare for the new day, now we're asking Nevisha to help us in our avodah for the day. There's also an interesting point. One of the Mefarshim says that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that sleep is good for the Rishoyim and good for the world, in the sense that when the Rishoyim are sleeping, at least they can't make trouble. So now we're saying, Hashem, you woke me up, then at least don't help me not to be a Rosha. Help me that my getting up should be good for the world rather than the opposite. So those are the morning brachas. Next, the Mishnah continues. Chayev adam levorach al ra, a person is obligated to bless Hashem for the bad things that happen to him. Kashem shemavorach al tova, just as he blesses for the good. And we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'ahavras Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha b'gomer." You should love Hashem with all your heart, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, or b'chol moedecha. So let's douse in those phrases. B'chol levavcha means v'shnei yitzarecha. You love Hashem with both of your yitzarim, both of your inclinations, v'yetzer tov or v'yetzer hara. So of course, you know, we have Tanya these days. The whole Tanya, the whole first part of Tanya is essentially how you go about doing that, how you go about turning your Yetzer Ra into something that's going to love the Eibishter. You have a long thing over here that Eitz Yosef brings from Sforim on the subject that you have, for example, a person's Yetzer Hara is partially just Tivus. So then when he overcomes those, he brings himself that he wants to serve Hashem. He doesn't want anything else. That's what it means to make his Yetzer Hara love Hashem. And again, Tanya, at least the first part of it, Sefer Shobeinanim, is basically a manual how to accomplish that. Overcome nafshecho, when it continues with all your soul, b'afilu notulus nafshecho, that means even if the Eibishter is taking away your nefesh, even if he's taking away your life, nevertheless, you still love him, as we're going to have later on in the story of Rabbi Akiva, for example. Means to love Hashem with all your wealth, even if the person has to give everything that he has in order to be over on a lot. Eitz Yosef points out over here that's different with a mitzvah saseh. There you have to have a limitation. A person is only required to spend up to a fifth of his nechassim on a mitzvah saseh. And elsewhere, the Gemara mentions also for hidur mitzvah, then if you add up to 50% of the base price to do hidur mitzvah. But for lois saseh, a person has to be ready to give away all of his money. That's about half the Hashem b'chol moedecha b'chol mamoncha. Dover acha, another explanation, b'chol moedecha means b'chol midah shu moeded loch. You're dashing the word. So the first explanation is moedecha means your power. The word moed means very much. So therefore it means your power, which is your money. Your money can be called your money can be called your power. When you have, for example, koichi va'otzi yodi osileis alachayil azeh. So it means that you think that your power has given you this wealth. So we see that koyach and then wealth are very closely connected. But the other explanation is we're dashing in the word ma'oid maloshin mid. The whole mido shu moeded loch. Every midah that Hashem gives you, that Hashem measures out to you, have in moed aloy, moed moed, be very grateful, be very thankful to Hashem. So Eitz Yosef points out that we find the word moed is used a lot of times in connection with tzaras. For example, this week's parasha, you have Dever covered moed, and other examples like that. You also have that good things also go together with moed. So therefore it means that, so it means whichever kind of moed you have, either way, have a moed aloy, be moed moed. So the Gemara says, when you say chayav adam levarechul, when you say you have to say the bracha on ra, the same as on tova, so my chayav, what does that mean exactly? Ilema de mevarech ala ra ha-tova ha-metiv ala tova ha-tova ha-metiv, does that mean that you say the actual same nusach of the bracha for both of them? We know it's not so, but tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, like shamim val besuris tovis, for rain, like we talked about the other day, when there's been a drought for a while, and then the rain is very appreciated, or when you got good news, oimer baruch ha-tova ha-metiv, then you say bracha to Hashem, who's good and does good. And by the way, we didn't really talk about it before, but the difference is you say Atoyva Meitiv when it's good that benefits you as well as others. When it's good that benefits you only, then you say Shechiyon. But in any case, so Aval Shmuis Yoyz and Baruch Dynamis. For bad news, you say Baruch Dynamis. So you don't actually say the same Nusach of the Bracha. There's an interesting footnote over here from bringing from Shmuis of the Yahu, which is Chedushim by the Vilna Gaon. Why is the expression Besuris Tovus versus Shmuis Yoyz? So this is an interesting chat, because when there's good news, you should tell it to another person. By all means, make another yid happy, give him good news. So therefore we call it besuris tovus, as in that everybody should be running to come and tell you and then give you the news. The word besuris, and that means like you're coming with the plan to tell the news. On the other hand, bad news, you don't really want to tell. We find in different places in the Gemara. So therefore, it's not nobody necessarily is going to come and tell you. You're going to hear about it through the grapevine, so to speak. So therefore, we call it Shmuis. They tell, by the way, an interesting story in that connection involving Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan Spector, the famous Rav of Kovna, 150 years ago. One time, he had a Talmud who was in danger of being drafted into the army. And finally, somehow or other, the Talmud ends up getting an exemption. So one of his chaverim runs to tell the Rosh Hashiva that the Talmud's potter, and of course the Rosh Hashiva is very grateful to hear about it. A minute later, another Talmud runs in with the same news, and the first bacher is about to tell him, it's fine, I already told him. Rabbi Yehuda, no, I want to hear. And each time he's like hearing as if it was new and agog and so thankful over and over again. And finally, one of them asked him, and you already heard it a dozen times, what's the big chiddush? He said like this, you know, why not give a yid nachas ruach, that he let him think, he's back at the first one to give me the news. So that's the surah's toivus. That's what we're saying over here, that when there's good news, you should always have an incentive to want to give. Anyway, the point being, in other words. Yeah. That's something. Oh, that, right. That the Rebbe always felt like he has all the time for them. Right. There's also, by the way, worth mentioning, since you're mentioning the Rebbe in this connection, the Rebbe often commented on the fact people are always bringing him bad news. People are not bringing him enough good news. He wanted to hear more of it. Yeah. The point is, the Gemara is asking that when the Mishnah says Levarach al Ra Kishem Shemavarach al Tova, it can't mean the same nusach, because in fact there are different nusachos. So Rava says, right, what it means is that you have to accept, it means that you should accept what Hashem does, b'simcha, whether it seems good or whether not. So now where do we know this from? Omer Rav Bavachana Omer Rav Yechanan or Rav Shmuel Banachmeni Omer to Omer Kro. You have a pasuk in Tehillim. Bashem Halal Dover Belikim Halal Dover. It actually says it the other way around. The pasuk Belikim Halal Dover Bashem Halal Dover. Whatever. Bashem. Now we know Hashem Havaya is Midas Arachmim. Elikim is Midas Adin. So Bashem Halal Dover. When he says, when David says, I'll praise Hashem about the thing, that means Midas Tovah. That means when he has a good midah, where he recognizes that comes from Shem Havaya. Be'lekima, halal dover, and also praise Hashem, with the name of Lekim, zumeras puranus, that means even when there's a punishing thing, because I realize that it's for the good, as the Gemara is going to say soon, kolmanda ovid, rahman latav ovid, and you have the ein yod and ein ra yod min hashamayim, and other such expressions. You have the famous thing, Geras Yud Aleph Tanya talks about that, Laskil Fabina talks about that, about how a person has to realize, even when he's going through hard times, that ein ra yod milamayla. You have the famous story in that connection involving the Rebbe's grandfather and Rav Osher Grossman, where the Rebbe's grandfather, Rav Meir Simcha, was he was also the Rav of Nikolaev in town over there. You also had Rav Osher Shuv Nikolaev. You can find him mentioned in the first few pages of Tanya. There's Askama over there where he bought the rights to print the Tanya and then printed it on behalf of the Rebbe Rashab. Anyway, our Rebbe's bris was on Chol Hamoed Pesach. He was born in Aleph Nissan. His bris was a week later on Chai Nissan. So the bris was held by Rav Meir Shloimeh's house. Rav Osher didn't want to eat by Rav Meir Shloimeh. He had the minhag. You don't eat. Many people have the minhag. You don't eat by other people's houses on Pesach. So Rav Meir Shloimeh calls him over and he says, you know, Osher, I mean, you know, really, I should be upset at you. I mean, you know, my kashrus is beyond reproach. But how can I be angry at you? You saved my life. So what's the story? The story is that a few years earlier, there had been an epidemic in town of typhus or some such contagious disease. They had to take the sick people outside the city and keep them in quarantine over there. And who knows what was going to happen. One of the people who got sick was Rav Meir Shloimeh. So when Rav Osher heard about it, he went there as fast as possible. He couldn't go into the building again because they're under quarantine, but he stood outside and started reading out loud the Segeras from Tanya, Laskil Chabina, about Ein Ra Yod Milamayla. And he came back there every single day and did that. And Rav Meir Simcha says that gave me the koyach to be able to live through the illness and recover. So, yeah. Anyway, the Gemara continues, Rav Abahu, or Rav Acha Mishum Rav Levi Oma Mehocha. You have a different pasuk that also expresses the same idea. Chesed U Mishpat Ashira, David HaMelech says, I sing to you about chesed, which is about kindness, U Mishpat and judgment, Ashira, I will sing, Locha Hashem Azamera, to you Hashem, I'll make music. Im L'chesed Ashira, Im L'mishpat Ashira. So regardless whether what I'm experiencing is open chesed, or whether it seems to be mishpat, either way, I'm singing to Hashem. Rav Tanchum Omer Mehocha, another pasuk, Kos Yisro Esesa V'Shem Hashem Efra, and I'll lift up the cup of salvation and I'll call out in the name of Hashem. And a few pesukim earlier in the capital, you have Sod of Yom and Emtzo V'Shem Hashem Efra. I find trouble and pain, and I call in the name of Hashem. So it means again the same idea. You have the Shem Hashem in connection with both of them also, and we see that David HaMelech is expressing the same idea that either way I lift up the cup and I call on the name of Hashem, that I recognize it's all coming from Hashem and it's all good. Rabbanan Amri, and the Rabbanan say yet another source, Amakra, you have the Pasuk in Eov, after he had the first set of disasters that happened to him. His children were killed, and all of his cattle and everything were killed and taken captive and whatnot. He says, Hashem Nosan Vashem Wakach, Hashem gave, Hashem took, Yehishem Hashem Mevorach, may Hashem's name be blessed. So we see, in other words, that he said that he's blessing Hashem, both for the fact that he gave him, all of this, and then they took it away. So the Gemara continues. By the way, with all of this, of course, we do have to realize this is something for a person to realize for themselves. Or, you know, you have the rare example of like Reb Osher with Reb Meir Simcha, where you can tell it to somebody else because he knows on that level. Ordinarily, you know, you don't, if I care, if you don't say to somebody your troubles are all your fault and, or they're, you know, the Eibishter is doing it for your good or whatever, ordinarily that's a no asked word. Anyway. With Eov himself, actually, the first speech of one of his friends over there, Eliphaz HaTimoni, is saying basically that. You should realize that Eivishter is fair, and if something wrong has happened to you, it must be your own fault. And the Gemara man and the Gemara and Bava Metzia explains that this is a nas dvarim, and you're not supposed to do that. So the Gemara continues, Amar of Huna Amar Rab Mishum Rav Meir, V'chein Tona Mishmeid Rav Akiva. We learn also of Braisa and the name of Rav Akiva like this. Lo'olam Yehel Adam Rogel Loimah called the Avdin Min Shmai Lekav. A person should always be in the habit of saying, whatever they do for me, Min HaShemayim, is good. You have in Tainis, it also tells in this connection, it has the story of Nochum Ish Gamzu. It doesn't have it here in the Gemara, but there you have the expression that he would always say Gamzu L'Toyva. And Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is saying over here, would say called the Abed Rachman L'Tab Abed. There's a Sicha in one in Chelik Aleph or Beis of the Kut HaSichas where the Rebbe discusses the difference that Nochum Ish Gamzu lived when the Beis Mikdash was still standing. There was a greater Gilui of a course in the world, therefore he could express this point in Lashon Kodesh. Rabbi Akiva lived through the Churban, but he was mostly active in the decades after the Churban. So in his times then, there wasn't such a dearly other course. So it couldn't be expressed in Lashon Kodesh. It had to be expressed in a lower level language, only in Aramaic. Anyway, Kihad Rabbi Akiva have also Barucha. We have the example that Rabbi Akiva was one time traveling on the road. He had with him a donkey and a rooster and a candle. The rooster part of the donkey, we understand, was for him to ride on when he's tired or for him to carry his packages or whatever. The candle, we also understand, so he can learn at night. Rashi adds that the rooster was there to wake him up. Mata Hai Dukta, he came to a certain place, to a certain city, Bo Ushpiza, he asked for somebody to put him up for the night. Veloyabule, they didn't want to give him, then nobody wanted to let him in. Omar, so he says, called the Abin Ishmael, Latav, whatever Hashem does is for the good. I'm sure there must be a good reason for this. Also, Bos Vedavra, so he went and to stay overnight in the forest or in the field or whatever, someplace out in the middle of nowhere. Also, Auya Achla Lachamre, that night a lion came and ate up his donkey. Also, Shunra Achla Tanagola, then a cat came and ate his rooster. Also, Zika, Kavya Vashnaga, and a wind came and put out his candle. Still, Omer called the Avin Mishmael Latav. Begalelia, that night, also Gayosa, a troop of soldiers came, Shavula Masa, and took everybody in the city prison.
Wow.
Omer Lahu, so he says to them, who's the Lahu? It could mean his Talmidim, he told afterwards. It could even mean maybe people left over from the city. There may have been fugitives from the city who got into that same forest where he spent the night. Who knows? Anyway, he says, Hainu da'ami, this is what I said, called the Abdin Mishmael Latav, that everything Hashem does is for the good. If the donkey had been alive, if the candle had been burning, then they would have seen me. And if the camel, and if the donkey or the rooster had been alive, they would have made noise, and the robbers would have seen me, and they would have gotten me as well. Continues the Gemara. But Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rav Meir La'olam Yiyu Dvarav Shal Adam Mu'atim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person's words should always be few in front of Hashem. Which means, in other words, Maharsha says that. So first of all, I mean, this is a continuation of what we said before. So obviously, it has to somehow connect with what we said before. So on the face of it, what does it have to do? And the pasuk itself that Rav Meir is going to quote says, "Yud Varech Ma'atim." So he explains like this. Maharsha says, that it means, in other words, even when a person is having trouble, if he starts talking too much about it, he's apt to start overthinking it and start being maharer that maybe it's not fair that Hashem is doing this. So instead he should daven for Rachman. But even when he's davening for Rachman, let him not talk too much about it. Let him just say a brief tefillah rather than going into every detail where, again, then it's likely to be too much on his mind and to start thinking that Hashem is treating him unfairly or something. Chas v'shalom. So lo'olam yu dvarav shel adam mu'atim l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person's words should always be few in front of Hashem. The pasuk says, don't be so quick with your mouth. And the pasuk continues, your tongue shouldn't be so quick to speak in front of Hashem, because Hashem is up there and you're down here. Therefore, your words should be few. So in other words, don't be so quick. The Eibishter has done you something which you don't appreciate. Don't be so quick to complain to Hashem. And as Marashah is saying, even when you are davening about it, keep it brief. So you don't start overthinking it and start obsessing over it. Derech Agav, by the way, the Eben Ezra on that pasuk explains also that there's another meaning of the pasuk as well. He says it means poshut in davening. Now, the words that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah set up for us, you don't have to start making up a whole bunch of long tefillahs of your own that beyond above and beyond that. And he goes into a long, long thing over there. He goes on a complete rant over there against Rebbe Elazar HaKaller. He has such long piyutim, and it's hard to understand them, and the diktuk of them isn't even correct, and so on and so forth. So the Eben Ezra himself is a pipe. And he composed some piyutim that are said Ader Yemazeh, but he didn't particularly appreciate some of the Pythonim from before him. Anyway, the Gemara goes on. Piska b'chol levovcha b'shnei yitzarecha. So we said the Mishnah had said that when it says ve'ahavtas Hashem alakecha b'chol levovcha means that you should love Hashem with both of your yitzarim, your yitzatov and your yitzahara. So let's talk a little bit about the yitzatov and the yitzahara. Dorash Reb Nachman Bar Achista. The pasuk says, when it says that Hashem created Adam and Chava, or created Adam and then afterwards created Chava out of him, so it says Vayitzer with two b'shnei yudin. So beis yitziras halalu lama. So why do you have two yudin representing that Hashem created twice? It means echad the tova ve'echad the peronus. It means one for good and one for good, one for reward and one for punishment. Or different gifts, Shnei Yitzarim Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that Hashem created two inclinations in a person. Echad Yetzer Tov, Echad Yetzer Ra. Now, this is before the Chet Yetzer Das, to be sure. Now, before the Chet Yetzer Das, they didn't actually have, Eitz Yosef points out over here that, they weren't Yedea Tov Ra. What it is before the Chet Yetzer Das, they had a Yetzer Ra, but it was more inclined to good. So in other words, I guess in Tanya terms, you could say it was more like the vestigial Yetzirah that's left by a tzaddik, which is noted to good. Afterwards, after they ate the Chet Hadass, then it got transformed into actually looking for Ra. So that's the two yuds. So the Gemara says, "Maskei for Reb Nachman Yitzchak Elamay Atzav Gabe Behema." Well, in that case, then by an animal, Deloik Sibba Vayitzer. Where it doesn't say Vayitzer, where in fact when it says Vayitzer, but only with one yud. So Hochin Amidol is Shalak or Yitzahor or less for Yitzra. Do you mean that it doesn't have a Yitzer? Barakachazim, the mask of a Noshkol Bata. We see that an animal does have a Yitzer. It's magic. It bites. It kicks. It has, so okay, it's not a Yitzahor like a person has, but still, in other words, it has a Nefesh of Bahamas, which powers the Yitzahor. And on the other hand, vice versa, it has, so to speak, a yetzer tov, because in other words, you can use it after all for useful work. So it can't be that's really the difference between nevertheless, Rashi on the pasuk does mention that point based on Medrash Rabba that yes, in fact, by a person it says with two yuds, and by an animal it says only one, because essentially an animal only has one yetzer. An animal really only has a yetzer ra. The fact that you can control it and use it for useful work is not so much a yetzer of it. It's still after all a selfish thing. Doing it for reward of some kind after all. But here the Gemara doesn't like that explanation. Rather, we have to understand the Vayitzer, like the way that Shimon and Pazi understands it, the Omar, where he says, and he repeats it later on in the Sugya, Oli mi yotzri, oli mi yitzri. Woe from my yotzer, from my creator, and oli and oi from my yetzer. In other words, I'm kind of caught between two. I'm caught between two extremes. On the other hand, my yotzer, the one who created me, wants me to do one thing. On the other hand, my yetzer wants me to do something else, and I'm sort of stuck. I'm sort of being pulled in two directions. So Marsha explains, in other words, when it says vay yitzer, we can darshan it vay yetzer. So therefore, in other words, and since you have the two yuds, it's as if it says twice vay. So I'm in trouble no matter which one, so to speak. Also, he says that vay yitzer can also be understood as a nitriker, and it can be understood almost as like initials for vay rosha, vay tzaddik, vay rosha, vay the vav yud. Tzaddik, as it says, the tzaddik of the word vayitzer, and resh is the rosh. So vay from the tzaddik, which is Hashem, and then vay from the rosh, which is the yetzer hara. So no matter which one I follow, then the other one is trying to pull me in the other direction. So that's one meaning. Inami kedir Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Another meaning of the vayitzer with the two yuds could be like what Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar says. Da'am Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, du partzufin bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'odim Rishon. Hashem created Odim Rishon with two faces. Shenema ochav akedem tzautoni, as the pasuk says, in kapitel kuflam and tes, which that kapitel was first said by Adam Rishon, and then David HaMelech later on rewrote it and incorporated it into them. And he uses the expression, you created me back and front. Now, if it just meant, in other words, that of course, the person has a back and a front, there's no chiddush in it, there'd be no reason to mention that. So it means that Adam Rishon is saying that originally, Hashem, you created me with a back and a front, which eventually became separately me and Chav. So therefore, that the Vayitzer represents that to begin with, Hashem created Adam as a dual being. So let's talk about that some more. The pasuk says, "Vayiven Hashem alekim es hatzela." Hashem built up the tzela. Now, in the simple meaning, tzela means a rib, and there is, in fact, Medrash says that literally it was a rib. And then the Medrash describes that like Hashem was deciding, so to speak, which part of a person to create Chava, which part of Adam to create Chava from, and eventually he settled on the rib because it's one of the most tzniyasik areas of the body. It's covered even when it's covered by your arms, it's covered by your clothing, whatever, and therefore it represents that women this way will have a tendency to be tzniyasik. But our Gemara is taking a different view that the word Selah doesn't mean rib, but rather it means a side. So Rav and Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel argue what that selah means. Chad om a partzuf. One says it means a complete form of a person. So in other words, that Adam and Chava were created literally as Siamese twins, where one body facing away from the other, and then Hashem split them apart. The chad om a zonav. The other one says a zonav, which literally a zonav means a tail. Eitz Yosef points out that actually it could work. With the Medrash that says that it was a rib, we do find in some places where the word zonav doesn't specifically mean a tail, but rather an extra part of the body. And the Maharal, for example, points that out when we have by Vashti in Megillah when it says that she grew a tail, you know, and the kids always have fun with it. But the Maharal, another Mefarshim say, doesn't necessarily literally mean a tail. It means that she grew some extra appendage on her body maybe she gained a couple extra pounds. She looked at herself in the mirror, she weighed herself on the scale and found that she weighs a couple of extra pounds, and now she's embarrassed to come out in front of Achashverosh and company. So what?
Wait,
that's the thing. So the word zonav can mean something extra that usually shouldn't be there. So yeah, for her, where she's watching her weight, then a zonav could be something like that. Yeah. So the same way over here, the zonav could mean that Hashem created Adam to begin with an extra rib, and now he took it away and created Chava with it, according to the opinion zonav.
So
Lilith,
the
first,
what? Have
other wife than Lilith? That's there's a Zoya that says something along those lines. That originally it was Lilith, one of the queen of the Shadim, and it didn't work out. And yeah, I mean, Bechlal, you have a Gemara elsewhere that says that before Hashem created, Rashi brings it on the pasuk that before Adam created Chava, that he had Adam check out all the animals and learn Skara Daita, and he realized it's not going to work out, and therefore Hashem made Chava and married them off to each other. So that can be included in that also, that Hashem had him try out is a shed going to be an appropriate zivug for Adam, and it turns out that not, it doesn't work out. Yeah.
The parts of things are face.
Right, but Rashi explains, Echad Melefana, Ve'echad La'achrav, V'tzocha L'shnayim, V'osim, and Echad Eskava. So one of them was made in the Chava. Later on, according to that, no. So according to that, it may have been two separate bodies that are joined together. Oh, yeah. I mean, the word paratzuf doesn't only mean a face. It means like a configuration. So like a shape of a body. Yeah. The Maharal, by the way, points out that part of the argument over here, Rav and Shmuel, about paratzuf and zanav, might be the question, what is woman relative to man, basically? Is she equally important? Well, then in that case, she was a paratzuf. She was created as a separate human being, fully formed as Adam was, or is she more like tuffle to the man in the sense the man is the one who has the more mitzvahs, he's the one who learns Torah, he's the one who accomplishes more the purpose of Dira B'tachtonim, and the woman is the Ezer Kenegdo, who helps him out. So in that sense, like so to speak, you could say she's subsidiary, and in that case, that would be the opinion that says that she's Zonah. Maybe better don't tell that over to your wives. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim alamanda am a paratzuf." So I can understand, according to the opinion, that Chava was created to begin with as a paratzuf, as a complete configuration. Well, then that explains the pasuk that we just quoted from Tillim, where Adam Rishon says, "You created me back and front." So in other words, he's recognizing that Hashem created two, the word sautoni, in other words, has meloshin yitzira. So Hashem created me. Hashem created me as two separate beings joined together. Elo mando am a zonov, but if it's only a zonov, an extra part of the body, my och of a kedem tzartoni. So what is that? So what's being expressed by that expression? And the answer is kedirah am. In that case, then we understand the word tzartoni differently. We understand it in Loshon Tzor. Means Adam Rishon was the last thing created by Ma'aseh Bereishis, but he was the first one when it came to punishment. Which means, in other words, that Ma'arsha says, now if it meant as far as creation, if it meant Sartoni, Meloshon Yitzira, then Rab Ami is bothered by why are we mentioning the back first? Why are we saying Ocher and then Ked? So therefore, he says, it makes more sense for it to mean Meloshon Tzara, and it means, in that case, the Ocher came first, because Adam was created, the first thing that happened was Adam was created last among all the creatures, and then Rakedem, then after that, Bechete Tadas, came the punishment first. Or actually, not Bechete Tadas, the Gemara is going to explain soon a different Paranus. So the question is, Bishlema Ochla Ma'aseh Bereishis, okay, I understand what it means that he was created last in Ma'aseh Bereishis, it means exactly what it sounds like. Hainu Deloi Vroyad Ma'ale Shabzeh, he wasn't created till Friday. And even on Friday, he was created after the Behemoth Machias. Ella, the Kedem of Puranus, but when we say that Adam was first, as far as punishment, Puranus demai. Which punishment are we talking about? Elema Puranus de Klala, or de Nachash, do we mean when they were cursed after the Chete Tadas? So no, Valtanya, Rebbe, or the Meir, Omer, Bigdula Masculin and Agadol, we have a general rule that when it comes to things of greatness, you start with the greater one first, you first address the greater one and give him his honor, and then you speak to the lesser one. Over Kalpola, when it comes to that something is messed up and there needs to be rebuke and punishment, Masculin, Minakot, and then you begin from the lesser one. And we see that Bigdula. Now, Marasha points out, it's true, of course, in the Pesukim, Hashem speaks to the Nachash first. But look, you could say, in Muktamum Ochabatur. So therefore, the Braisa, though, clearly states that the fact that the Nachash is first in the Pasuk is not just in Muktamum Ochabatur, but that's, in fact, the way Hashem did it. He first spoke to the Nachash. He first spoke to the Nachash, sorry, he first spoke to Adam, but he punished the Nachash first. After we had, Hashem speaks to Adam, Ayemalai Ayekma. And then Amina Eitz Asher Tzvisicha, and Adam gives excuse. Then Hashem speaks to Chava, then he speaks to the Nachash. But then when it comes to the actual punishment, Hashem started with the Nachash first. So you have that first in the Pasuk. Only then do you have Chava, and only then do you have Adam, but you could have said in Mukdim of Ochel HaTorah. But the Braise is making it clear that that's tack of the order it was in. So B'gdula Maschilim and Agadol, when it comes to things of greatness, you begin with the Gadol first, Dichtiv. You have Vayyemi Moshe El Aaron Ula El Ozer Uli Sama Bonam Anisorim. It says that Moshe spoke after Nadav and Abihu had passed away. He spoke to Aaron and then to Elazar and Isamar, his leftover sons. Marsha points out, in other words, now we know they're the only ones left over. We know originally Aaron had four sons, and then two of them are gone now. So the fact that it lists their names, the fact that it didn't say Aaron of one of Hanisorim, means, in other words, that it was specifically not just because Aaron is their father, but because he's more important than them. Therefore, the pasuk mentions his name first. When it comes to punishment, we begin with the lesser one. First, the snake was cursed. All of a sudden, Adam. So what do we mean that Adam was the first for Puranus? On the contrary, he was the third. Ella Puranus the Mabu. Rather, we mean the Puranus, the punishment, when it came to the Mabu. The pasuk says that Hashem wiped out all the creatures, all the living creatures that were on the face of the earth, made Adam ba'ad behema, from man to animal, meaning v'reisha Adam b'hoda behema. So first man was punished. First the people were killed, and then the animals. And now Marsha explains, because once it said by Yimachas Kolayikum, it didn't have to mention Adam or behema, so it must mean it's coming to tell us what the order was. First Adam, then Behemoth. What's the reason behind that? So Ion Yaakov explains, you have the Nichnas Rishon Yotza Achron, that you, a lot of times, you, whatever comes in first leaves last. So therefore, since Adam came into the world first, so therefore he came into the world last, therefore he's taken out of the world first.
He's created the last one,
and therefore when it comes to the marble, he's the first one removed from the world. So anyway, so Rav Ami is saying that's what Ochav Akedem Sartoni means. Rav Ami, following the opinion that Chava was not created as a full Paratzuf, but only as a Zonav, so he understands the Ochav Akedem to be referring to something else, not that there were originally two Paratzufim, but rather that Adam was the last one created and the first one wiped out at the time of the marble. So we'll continue. We'll continue afterwards on Sunday, Beis Hashem, and continue analyzing this whole Pautzel versus Zohar thing, and how Adam and Chava were creating. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Geula, Chavav Tevis. So we talked about yesterday we had an excerpt from a sicha where the Rebbe talked about influencing the Goyim to observe Shavuot Mitzvahim. So again, the Rebbe reiterated this point another time, that you have to be poil on them to be involved with Tzedakah, because Tzedakah in particular was Mechatos of Bnei Noach. So the Hurrah the Rebbe talked about was to be poil on the Umas Olam to be involved in Tzedakah. And you see, nowadays, it's much easier to get them, to get people to do Tzedakah, both when it comes to Umas Olam and when it comes to Bnei Yisrael. And you have also, you have there's a whole discussion in halacha to what extent are Bnei Noach chayiv in tzedakah. It's not officially one of their seven mitzvahs, but there is the idea that they are chayiv in it. And there's also a whole sugya in Bava Basra where the Gemara brings several drushes on a pasuk chesed l'umim chatas, and after it brings a number of them where the Gemara has mostly a bunch of negative things to say, mostly about the chesed of the umas olam, but then it finishes off with a positive one from Yechon ben Zakkai, who says the comparison is just like a chatas is machaper for the Jewish people, so tzedakah is machaper on the umas olam. Halacha, continuing on halachas of brachas achronas. So we talked yesterday about fruit that grow, about fruits or nuts or whatever that grow wild. So in the same vein, when you have herbs of various kinds of herbs and plants and whatever that grow by themselves without you planting them, so even though they can be eaten raw, where normally then they'd be hadama, or even you cook them and they're an important food, but again, people don't plant them, so they're only considered charcoal. But let's say, for example, romaine lettuce or other kinds of lettuce, people actually plant it and cultivate it, so you say hadama on it. Even as far as plants that grow by themselves, if they have hush of a fruit on them, for example, strawberries or raspberries or things like that, then you do in fact say Bota Pri Hadam on that. The Alter Rebbe also adds that you have a certain kind of berries, like blackberries or something, that are blueberries, that grow on something that is considered an actual tree, la halacha, you would say Bota Pri Ha'Etz on them. There are in fact, when it comes to those kinds of things, blueberries and some of the blueberries particularly you have, certain kinds are actually Ha'Etz. Even though people think berries are always hadama, there are in fact some kinds that the way they're cultivated may make them hates, in fact.